podcast, May 22nd, 2023. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, and Apple Podcast. You can also listen to us on your smart speaker. If you're listening on Apple Podcast, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. We're also on online digital radio. Visit our website, thesportscast.net. Also, follow us on Twitter at thesportscast1 and check out our app, The Sportscast, for iOS. Both the Heat and the Nuggets are on the brink of entering the NBA Finals. First time there might be an Eastern Conference and Western Conference final sweep. And join us all the way from up north, Hal Phillips, welcome back to the Sportscast.
Thanks, Santi. I'm going to try to hold it together here. I'm better than the Celtics did last night.
So let's go into game three of the Heat. Yesterday, the Heat defeated the Celtics 128-102. Gabe Vincent, a former G League player, scored a career high of 29 points. Duncan Robinson with 22. And the Heat just strolled with Celtics. There was no chance. The Heat were leading most of the game. Hal Phillips, give us your reaction or eulogy of what happened last night.
Well, Magic Johnson tweeted this morning that the Celtics were just rolled over and said that he'd never expected a proud Celtics dynasty team or any Celtics team to roll over in that way. And I would refer Magic Johnson to Game 6 of the 2008 NBA Finals, where the stakes were bigger, and the Lakers rolled over and lost by 40. So it happens to the best of us. The Celtics just fell apart. And, you know, I guess what makes it interesting or, you know, macabre or sort of fun for some to pick over is that no one expected this. It's not just that I didn't expect it. I don't believe that you expected it, Santi. I mean, the Celtics were favored by 8 points at home in game one. They were favored by 6.5 points in game two at home. They were favored last night to beat the Heat in Miami by 4.5 points. They were favored. So they just keep disappointing people. But the idea that we thought the Celtics would win that game or win this series or make more of a series than they have, it's not a crazy idea. Everyone had the same idea. That's what makes it such a crazy situation to sort of pick apart, and we can do that. Unlike the Lakers series, I think the Lakers have obviously competed better, but no one picked the Lakers to win that series. So the idea that they're losing 3-0 is not quite the unmooring experience than watching what many people felt was the most talented team left in the playoffs just get destroyed last night. And there's a lot of reasons why. We can go over them if you care to. It's a pretty grim deal. What do you want to talk about?
Now, here's my first hypothesis or my guess. Is it because they were tired from the previous series when they defeated Philadelphia in seven games? Is that one of the reasons why, or?
No, they can't fall back on that at all. We've talked about it, Santi. The problem with the Celtics team is until this series started, they really were really a really great defensive team with a make or miss offense. And we've learned that when they miss, they just don't have a plan B. They were 5 for 25 from 3-point land in the first half yesterday. You just can't win. And they're playing a team, the Heat, which is shooting, I think, more than 52% from 3-point land, which they've never done during the regular season. I mean, this is an unprecedented shooting streak for Miami. So that's one reason. But look at the Celtics team. They're such a weird team. Yes, they depend on the three like many, many NBA teams do. But the Celtics don't have anybody to drop the ball into to get a back-to-the-basket post bucket or go to the line. They just don't have that person. Their two bigs are Rob Williams, who has no offensive game, and Al Horford, who goes and shoots three-pointers now. So when they can't make a three, what do? Well, they don't have any plays to run. That's one problem. But the other problem is they can't just default drop it into Joel Embiid or Giannis or LeBron or Bam Adebayo or Jimmy Butler, for example. These they can get you a bucket when you need a bucket. The Celtics don't have anybody like that. Their best post player is Marcus Smart.
Which is not saying much.
Yeah, it's not saying much. He's a great post-up guard, but you can't build an offense around that when nothing is working. The problem is the Celtics have backed themselves into a corner. Their only response when they lose is to say to themselves, we won't miss that many three-pointers next time. And oftentimes, that is the case. But that has not been the case in this series. They keep missing them. They have nowhere else to go offensively. And last night, they just gave up. I mean, they put the entire starting unit was off the floor before the third quarter ended, and they basically waved the red flag. They have no answers for the Heat when they're not making three-pointers. Now, that is a really lame reality. I'm not going to defend them for that. I think it's pathetic that they don't have a plan B. How can you not have a plan B when you're not making three-pointers? I don't care that you base your offense on it. If you're not making them, you're just going to say, oh, we lose. No, they lost a dozen games this year for exactly that reason. But these are playoff games, and you can't just throw in the towel like that.
Now, game two, Hal, was a little bit closer.
Oh, yeah.
Could have been squeaked out, or you saw, hey, the Heat's going to probably close that out.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, they had double-digit leads in the third quarter of games one and two. And what happened? Well, they stopped making shots. They stopped making shots, and then they fell behind by double digits and lost both games. They could have won game two. They were closer than that. I think they had a lead later in that game, and it was a nip and tuck game until the end. And every time the Heat needed to get a shot, Jimmy Butler got them that shot, or Bam Adebayo got them that shot. I can't reconcile the 3-point mentality of the Celtics and so many other NBA teams when you need a basket and it's the final 4 or 5 minutes of a game. The Celtics just consistently, they take the first open three-pointer they get. They don't try it for anything better. And you have to ask yourself, well, why not? Because they don't consider anything better than that. They think that is the best shot they can get because they don't have a post presence, because they don't really have a mid-range presence. Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, I mean, they were terrible in the last two games. And, you know, how does a team like the Celtics win when their best two players – the two all NBA selections, two of the top 15 players in the NBA by that measure, just didn't show up. They can't make a shot, and they just keep shooting and shooting and shooting. That was, you know, worked for Pete Maravich, didn't work for the Celtics in this game or in this series, and they're going to go down because of it.
And we're seeing an overlay here of game two. As House said, they led in the third quarter. They were up 33-21 points. But the Heat came back in the fourth quarter. I saw that. A lot of Jimmy buckets there. So that situation is something that Boston needs to close out. And they do have one more game. As Hal said, not much presence from Tatum. Only had 14 points. Jaylen Brown added 12 points. That would not be enough. They came close. Not too close. 61-49 yeah, in the opening of the second half. It was not enough. Jimmy buckets did not have much. How only 16 points. Bam only had 13. Strauss added 10 points. It was all Gabe Vincent. How about this Heat team? Doesn't really have to rely on the starts too much, I guess, for this. I mean, after this.
I think we have to stop shitting on the Celtics for a moment and praise the Heat. They're outplaying the Celtics. And you know who they also outplayed? The Knicks. You know who they outplayed before they outplayed the Knicks? The Bucks.
Number
one seed in these playoffs. They destroyed the Bucks. They beat them in five games. They destroyed their will to live. I think we have to step back and reconsider how good this team is right now. Forget the regular season. Who cares about the regular season? This team is totally hitting on every piston. And, you know, it's such a contrast watching them play against the Celtics. Everything they do is under control. They have their head up. They make decisions. They take three-pointers when they're open. If they're not, they run to the basket. They dish when defenders come up to take them. They play very sound offensive basketball. They play great defensive basketball. They're basically sagging off the Celtics like the Sixers did, saying, yeah, go ahead, keep shooting. It's not going to do you any good. But, I mean, we can't pick on, you know, we can't pick on the Celtics when the Heat are shooting 52% from 3-point line. They shot 34% for the season. Okay. That's an incredible upgrade. Is it lucky? I don't know. It keeps happening. They're bigger than we thought. They're playing Zeller, for God's sake. Cody Zeller is their backup center. He's actually giving them good minutes. Kevin Love gives them good minutes next to Bam Adebayo. Adebayo is as unstoppable in this series as he was in the bubble against the Celtics in the Eastern Conference Final in 2020. And he's been great. We can't punish him as an undersized big man because we don't have a post game. It's a perfect team to frustrate the Celtics. And they have four undrafted guys that they play in their top seven rotation. What does that mean? That means it's Eric Spoelstra doesn't just come up with great schemes. He finds guys and turns them into NBA players. I mean, what's his face? Duncan Robinson, his whole career has been revived. His was one of the worst contracts in the NBA. All of a sudden, he's making shots. He's making shots going to the basket. I mean, he's making layups. Duncan Robinson hasn't had this many layups since he played at Williams College.
I'm telling you how this resembles a lot. I know it's a different sport, but Bill Belichick, where he turns some low-key players into stars. Mm-hmm. And then you warned us. I mean, you warned me. Hey, Spoelstra's a good coach. I mean, he could out-coach Joe Mazzulla easily.
Well, I really feel bad for Joe Mazzulla, who's being who's been given a really great, although cruel nickname. They're calling him Back Row Joe. The Celtics have had a, you know, how they have like two rows of coaches now behind the NBA benches, you know, and they've got 10 coaches and he was in the back row, you know, a year and a half ago. Celtics have had a really interesting brain drain when it comes to their coaching ranks. I mean, Brad Stevens is now the GM. He was a coach. He was a good coach. He coached them to the Eastern Conference Final in 2020. Ime Udoka comes and goes, right? He's gone. Joe Hardy is now coaching the Jazz with great effect. He's gone. And I think Joe Mazzulla really could have benefited from a veteran hand next to him in these playoffs. But that guy, Damon Stoudemire, left to go coach Georgia Tech. So he's a young guy. He has no experience. And he's feeling his way along. And he's obviously a little bit too much enthralled to these players that he's coaching, these two all-stars in Brown and Tatum. But geez, he's not missing these shots. They've won 57 games, making enough shots during the regular season. They beat the Sixers just barely, making those 3-pointers when they had to. The Celtics have actually pulled out some really extraordinary performances, not just this year but last year, in elimination games when things have gone as badly as they have this year. They have come back and won. They beat everybody but the Warriors last year in 6 games with that mentality. But, man, it was just impossible to watch this game. There was nothing happening for them. You knew it from the very start. You're right. It was 62-49. You're like, geez, man, they make a few shots. Maybe they can get back into this game. Boom, over. 5 minutes, over. And it was really depressing to watch. But you got to give the Heat credit. They just kept making everything.
Things came their way. It's unbelievable. Yeah. Spoelstra said, we'll decompress today, but we'll really get our minds right to finish things this off. NBA teams are 0-149 all time when trailing a series 3-0. There has been 16 sweeps in conference finals history. How any hope for game 4, or you're just gonna say Heat are moving on?
Well, they may win game 4. I mean, the Celtics aren't this bad, and the Heat aren't this good. I think that's fair to say. But they could win game 4. But then they've got to go back home where they're 10-11 in the last 2 or 3 years at home in playoff games. 10-11.
Which is one of the issues they've been having this season, especially for the playoffs, that they have not won enough at home.
Well, yeah, they won plenty of games at home during the regular season. They won 57 games and lost 25 during the season. But, you know, as we've seen, the regular season just means nothing. I mean, the Heat are an 8 seed. That shows you how much the regular season matters. They can't win at home in the playoffs when people play defense against them. You know, that's what happens in the playoffs. People actually play defense. That's the difference. People don't want to talk too much about that on TNT and ESPN because you're basically running down the product you know, during the regular season, and no one wants to do that. But that is the truth. And when the Celtics have to play against good defense, they're a terrible offensive team. And this year they haven't been able to overcome it. I will say that I have tickets, or I have, you know, I've been offered a ticket for game 5 in Boston. And part of me would love to see the Celtics win tomorrow night and see what the Garden looks like for game 5. If they win that game, then it's sort of fun. But I have a feeling they're going to get swept. And I sort of want them to, because I don't want to schlep all the way down to Boston to watch them lose by 30.
Exactly. The Heat could have closed out the Knicks in 5, but they forced them in game 6. So that was kind of the closest series for the Heat. But game 4, it could loom. Maybe Tatum could, you know, spell out 40 points and could win it. Yeah. But we don't know. I never guarantee sweeps. You just never know. But anyways, let's go to another series. Nuggets up 3-0 against the Los Angeles Lakers. They beat LA 119-108. Jamal Murray had 37 points. Jokic with 24 points, 8 assists. And the Nuggets are up 3-0. How this series, does it look more over? Or what are your thoughts over this whole shenanigan here?
Well, I think it probably is over. Denver has been the best looking team in these playoffs, including the Heat. That would be an interesting matchup, but Nuggets are playing so very well. I think the Lakers are done, and that's why I thought Magic Johnson's comments were so interesting in context of other laydown efforts by the Lakers and the fact that the Lakers are down 3-0 in their own series. They've played harder and better than the Celtics, though, so I'll give him that. But, man, Jamal Murray has been the best single performer in these playoffs, along with Jimmy Butler. Butler's been sort of episodic. You know, he's really good when he needs to be. Murray's just been great the whole time, and he's got the ball in his hands all the time. He and Jokic have their touches are insane, and Murray, he's not listed as a point guard, but he runs the show there from the perimeter, and he's been unstoppable. 37 points in the last game, and it wasn't that close at the end. I keep waiting for the Denver's lack of depth to hurt them, but it's just not hurting them at all. Bruce Brown has been really good off the bench. Jeff Green has been good enough, and that's it. They're playing a 7-man rotation. They've got this fellow Christian Brown. He's of German descent, I guess, but he pronounces it Brown. Went to Washington. I think he's a third-year guy. I didn't even know who he was. He's a nice little player. He hasn't done much in the playoffs. They've played a 7-man rotation. They don't get tired. They get ahead of you, and then they just put the pedal to the metal. You can't keep up with them. Aaron Gordon is such an important player for them. They can put Aaron Gordon on any frontline player in the league. That means Jokic doesn't have to play him. And Jokic is free to roam and rebound and outlet and run the floor. I love watching Jokic run the floor. He looks ridiculous doing it.
But man, a point guard and breaks. A big guy.
Yeah, incredible. So they've been great. And Michael Porter has been plenty good enough as a sort of fifth wheel. They're the best team in basketball right now. But, man, the Heat are close behind. If the Heat keep shooting like this, they can play with anyone. But I think the Lakers are pretty much done. They've had a very good run. I thought they impressively remade their team on the fly. And they could win this game, but I don't see them going back to Denver winning. No way in hell.
Yeah, another point out for the Nuggets, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope scored 17 points in this game, so he had a good performance. And D'Angelo Russell did not do well for the Lakers, scored 3 points. So he had a rough game this past weekend. But as Hal said, I will have to agree. I don't see the Lakers forcing a game 5. But you never know in basketball. LeBron could, bump up and see what happens there. Carmelo Anthony retires, Hal, after he was drafted in 03, I believe.
Yes.
He is saying no more. He did not play this past season. He played for the Los Angeles Lakers a year ago, but any memories that you have of him, and also reaction over his retirement?
Well, the first thing I would say is that I thought he already was retired because he didn't play last year. And I guess he's got to make it official so that they can put him on the list for the Hall of Fame ballot just to make it official. I like Carmelo as a person. He I don't think he was a championship player in a lot of ways, but I will say this. He got Jim Boeheim his only NCAA championship, or the only one I can remember, in 2003. If Boeheim didn't bring him in the one and done context, which I guess he refused to do for a long time, he might never have won one. So that was a feat. And I have to say that the Denver team that he had in 2009, I think they won 57-58 games. They lost to the Lakers in the Western Conference Final. And I thought that was Carmelo's best season. He really sublimated his scoring. He rebounded a ton. He had almost 5 assists a game. I remember this because I might have had him in my fantasy league, or because I'm in a fantasy league, I paid attention to the way he had sort of broadened his repertoire when it came to his output. He was a really good player. And if you think about if he was born maybe 10 years later, he's a pretty ideal four in the modern NBA with a three-pointer and the ability to take people down on the block. The Celtics could have used him.
Celtics. I do want to reminisce on Nuggets and when he was with the Denver Nuggets, where he went to the Western Conference Finals but lost against Kobe. I think it was probably one of his best years. I think it also kind of spilled over with the New York Knicks a little bit. I think they took him to the semifinal, the playoffs. So he had a good season, couldn't win a championship. But then towards his latter years, it's just, I mean, he just died a bit, you know?
Well, I think, you know, I would disagree with you there. I don't think that those Knicks teams were ever anywhere near, championship caliber teams. And Carmelo took the money to go to New York and be the man on some mediocre teams. And I think he had a choice to maybe go to some different teams that did have a chance to win and sublimate his game again to suit other people and make the unit better and win more games and go further in the playoffs. But ultimately, I don't think that was what Carmelo was about. He lucked into it a little bit with that. Was it 09? Was what when they went to the
finals and lost against the Lakers? Yeah,
6. That they looked good doing it. That was a very good team, very good team. But that was probably the best team he ever played on. And you know, what kind of legacy is that?
Yeah, I know. Tough situation. Drafted in 03 with Dwayne Wade, LeBron James. And wow. It was a good class, but, you know, couldn't really that team. I believe he played with Allen Iverson when he was in the Nuggets. So.
Oh, when Iverson was.
Yeah, towards the end of his career, I think it was like one last hurrah.
I keep thinking about that Nuggets team because it was it was Carmelo's best performance. And that really was a very good team. And were it not for the Lakers, I think that the Nuggets would have gone to the finals. And I've got to call up the stats and see who was on that roster because they had a real team. I don't think Lawson didn't play on that team. Was he the point guard? I'm trying to remember who else was on the team, but they were good.
I
got to
double check on that. But I know there's one player that actually followed him with New York, and also J.R. Smith was also with him in Denver and New York. So I think they played together. Like the most minutes he's played with was with J.R. Smith.
Yeah, 2009 Denver Nuggets roster. Who did they have? I'm looking at it now. Chris Anderson, Carmelo Anthony, Phillips, Nene, Juwan Howard, Allen Iverson, wow. Linus. Klaza, Kenyon Martin was
the Kenyon Martin. That's right. Important. Came from New Jersey.
Yeah. Interesting team and big mobile team. And I mean, Nene was his heyday. But it's all over now.
It's all over now. Good luck for Carmelo Anthony. We'll see what he does in his future. It could be television. It could be coaching. We'll see what happens. Manchester City is champions. Quite surprising. No, not really. Not really that surprising. They won the league after Nottingham Forest beating Arsenal 1-0. What's going on with Arsenal? And yesterday they defeated Chelsea 1-0. They're on the running for the treble. Your thoughts over this season with Haaland in Man City?
Well, I can't wait to see the game against Inter in the Champions League final. It's been the continuing quest of Pep Guardiola. I think they've won 5 of 6 premiership titles now. It's a bit of a role for them in the English league, but you know, that is the best league in the world, they say. It's the deepest. I didn't watch the game over the weekend. I knew they'd beat Chelsea, who've been terrible. I did watch part of the Forest Arsenal game because I enjoy seeing Arsenal suffer, and they did suffer. They really blew this. They gave away a lot of points in March and April, tying games and losing games that they were expected to win. And here we are. But, you know, I sort of wonder what will happen with UEFA. Manchester City has been accused and is now, you know, this matter is being adjudicated, whether or not they have basically sidestepped all of the, you know, UEFA fair play rules and spend way more money than everyone else, in essence, than they're allowed to spend. But, you know, Haaland was a guy that everyone wanted. They paid top dollar for them. But, you know, Pep turns a lot of people into pretty outstanding footballers. And I take my hat off to Pep. He does what no one does. And those teams are great to watch. But I have to say, at this point in the game, I'm a little bit bored with them being so good.
I am so bored. I think they were talking about how when NBC has gotten the rights to the Premier League, I think all they've seen is Man City winning it most of the time. I think so. It's been, I mean, and look at their supporters. They don't look too exciting, like, compared to other ones. It's just crazy.
Well, I don't want to tell, you know, people, you know, stuff from history that they already know, but, you know, Manchester City was nothing until 2010. Exactly. They were an also ran, not just in Manchester. They were the second team there, but they were never good in the English league. And the idea that they, you know, have a great fan base and they've been propelled to greatness by this, you know, some outpouring of affection for this team is not really accurate. It's been purchased by the Qataris, and they've brought in just one incredible player after another. And now, at least, there are other teams in England that have those means, but they don't have Pep Guardiola. But, you know, the people in Manchester, you know, the city, the blue side of Manchester, they will fight this tooth and nail. But not been a great club through history. They've been a great the last 10 years on account of all this money. And at some point, maybe another shoe will drop and we'll see whether or not they get to keep all these titles.
Yeah, they're under investigation. And I think those results won't happen in a few years. So we'll see what happens there. Do you think they'll win the FA Cup and the Champions League? FA Cup, they're playing Manchester United. And of course, the Champions League, as you mentioned, they're playing against Inter Milan.
Well, they're favored to win both, obviously. But Manchester United is not playing well at all. You know, a month and a half ago, that would have been a really fun game to watch on neutral ground, and it may still be a good opportunity for them to come back. And that's a derby. It's certainly it's sort of fun to see United being second fiddle in Manchester historically. And, you know, FA Cup, they're favored to win. They're favored to win. Is it Brighton?
No, wait. Oh, no, for FA Cup, is Manchester United.
Wait. Oh, wait. And then, right. I'm sorry. Manchester United, Brighton is out. Yeah. And they're favored to beat Inter. But I'll be rooting for Inter Milan.
Yeah, which I think which Inter has not won the Champions League, I believe.
I don't think they ever have. AC Milan has been several times.
Back 20 years ago. But Inter Milan, you know, with Ronaldo and all these stars, never won a Champions League. But don't be surprised, Hal. You know how Pep sometimes overthinks these big games, but you never know.
So Mourinho took Inter to a Scudetto. They won the Italian league, but... And I think they made some noise in the Champions League one time with him, but they
defeated Bayern Munich that year and 2009-2010 2010 Champions League. Now I remember.
Was that with
Jose Mourinho? Yeah.
Yeah, and they won. You know, he was in his heyday there, and he left and went there and won the league, and then went from there
to Madrid.
To Madrid. Yeah, that I think that's how it went. But now he's playing for the Conference League title. Did Roma beat West Ham last week?
Yes, Roma is in the Europa Conference final, and they'll be playing against, I think, Leverkusen. Let me double check here.
That's what's gonna happen. Roma's gonna play West Ham.
Oh yeah, West Ham. That's right. Europa Conference League.
When is that?
And the finale. will be, I got pulled up. It will be in 16 days. That's June 7th after the Champions League.
Wow. That's weird. Why would it do that? That's late.
Maybe scheduling issues.
Everything slows down for that time because it's going to be some international window stuff for the U.S. men's national team in June. That'll be interesting to see.
So, yeah, but, which he is. No, sorry. That is the. No, sorry. The Conference League. I'm getting confused with the Europa League and the Conference League. The Conference League is West Ham versus Fiorentina.
Oh, and then Europa is Roma against him.
And the Europa League, I'm getting pulled up here, is Sevilla, who have won it several times against Roma. And that will be on May 31st.
I just can't. I mean, do you get excited about that, Santi?
I would watch. Like to see Mourinho win that other title. He has. Well, he's won the Europa League before with Man United, but defeating Sevilla is pretty tough. I mean, they've won it like several times this past couple of years.
No, Sevilla's won it five or six times.
They're experts. Like they do it on purpose. I think they do it on purpose to stay and win trophies. It's the easiest way out, I guess. I don't know.
I like Sevilla because they wear black socks.
That's right.
That is part of their kit, and I really like the black socks, especially with white uniforms. You don't get to see that every day, but I'm intrigued by that. But, you know, that alone, I can't get too excited about Sevilla winning another Europa League title.
Let's go U.S. soccer. Weston McKennie is rumored to go back to Juventus, but possibly could be loaned out again, maybe back to the Premier League or another Europe league out there. What are your thoughts about McKennie? Obviously, Leeds are in the brink of getting relegated, so I'm sure he wants to move somewhere else. But where do you think he should go?
I don't know. He did. Leeds played yesterday.
They lost yesterday. Yeah.
So, yeah, they are on the brink. I think Juventus, you know, has had him on loan all this time, of course. And I think they will take him back because that loan deal is up. I don't think they have any intention of keeping him. So I think they will probably be selling it back to a Premier League team that might be coming up and looking to bolster their midfield. It's probably not what he wanted. Remember when he came over and Bournemouth made him a Godfather type offer, and he said, "I don't want to go to Bournemouth." Well, Bournemouth stayed up, and Leeds may well go down. So it's a tricky business coming in and choosing Premier League sides to be a mercenary with on loan.
Which is rumored to go to Brighton, Newcastle, West Ham, or Aston Villa.
Well, those are rumored. Those would be his best options. I'm not sure how much they want him. I think that he did make his talent pretty obvious during this stint. He can play. He can obviously play at this level. He can play attacking midfield for you, and he can drop back and play, you know, box to box for you if you want it. And he was pretty healthy too, which is part of the rap on him in Italy. But we'll see what happens with him. I think that he's going to be somewhere. He's not going to be at Juventus. I'm not sure you even want
Juventus
to be there.
Going through a financial issues, right? Is that what I've heard?
Huge financial issues. And they've actually been obliged to play some very young players this year, 16 and 17-year-old prospects who are very, very good. That's just not ever what Juventus did. And the guy who's doing it is this guy, Max Allegri, who is famous for only going with veterans, but he has been obliged to play these guys because they don't have anybody else. Pogba came back for half a game and hurt himself again, but they've gotten some really good experience for these young guys. So maybe they'll be better next year. But I don't see McKennie fitting into that rubric particularly well. And they've already tried to dump him out on loan. They'll probably do it again.
Anyways, we'll see what happens. I wanted to see more with him and Tyler Adams together playing in Leeds, but Tyler Adams got injured by a hamstring. He'll be all right. He'll be playing for the U.S. men's national team this summer for the Gold Cup and the Nations League. Cool. Anything else before we head off into predictions?
Well, I think that Tyler Adams, if Leeds goes down, I think Tyler Adams will be plucked by a prominent English team, First Division Premiership team. He's that good, and he made that very clear to everyone. McKennie, not so much. And poor Brendan Aaronson, the last of the Americans playing for Leeds, just has been terrible ever since the World Cup. He hasn't been able to do anything. He started like a house of fire there. So if they go down, he may stay with them, and it may be good for him because he'll be playing. But Leeds has thrown a lot of money into that team, and I'm not sure they're going to be able to keep everybody. So We'll see what happens. It's gonna be it's a free for all when you go down into the championship. At least you have some. They give them a nice parachute, so they'll be able to maybe get right back up if they don't.
And former Leeds manager Jesse Marsh is the front runner for the U.S. coaching position. Your thoughts?
Yes, I hope they sign him. They hired the guy who nearly hired him at Southampton, so Matt Crocker. So that makes some sense. We'll just have to see whether or not that that is the way it's played out. I mean, if that was the case, well, they had to have a guy in place. They've always said they weren't going to hire a coach until he was until the sporting director was in place. Now he is. So
which he'll start now. They have this August.
They have friendlies in the comp and the champion, the CONCACAF. The CONCACAF Nations League up in June. And I think they're giving that to Hudson, to coach Anthony Hudson. But I'm not sure what's happening. It wouldn't surprise me if they have an understanding and they're just waiting for the right time. This summer.
It's all about timing, right, Hal? Shooting the ball, everything. And hiring. All right, predictions tonight. Game 4 in Los Angeles. Nuggets at L.A. Is Nuggets going to bring out the broomsticks or Lakers are going to force a Game 5?
No, I think the Lakers will force a Game 5 and lose later this week in Denver and wrap
it up. There's some Premier League today. Leicester City at Newcastle.
I can't get too excited about that. I think Leicester's going down too, yep, right?
They're in that relegation zone, correct.
They're a funky team. They have some great attacking options, but they can't stop anyone from scoring.
So Newcastle it is.
Sure, I'll take
Newcastle. Team of the future. Poll question, what goes best with vanilla pudding? The options are wafers, eclairs, fruits, or whipped cream.
Vanilla pudding. Well, whipped cream goes best on pudding. That's just on any pudding.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm going to go with whipped cream.
Tied at number two, 20%. Wafers is winning at 60%. Fruits is at 0%. There you go. Well, there you have it. You can vote on Twitter. Hal Phillips, what is the best way to reach you online to talk about your book and also any hope for Chelsea next season?
There's no hope for Chelsea next season. I hate Chelsea. My book, Generation Zero, you can find that on Amazon, barnesandnoble.com. You can reach me at Mandarin Hal on Twitter. You can read my soccer work at genzero.halphillips.net and everything else at just halphillips.net.
And Tottenham laid an egg against Brentford.
They really did. They scored a great goal to go up and looked in control of the game and then fell apart. It's very Celtics like of them.
No coincidence there. Well, there you have it. You can reach us at thesportscast.net or Twitter, thesportscast1, and also on Instagram. We'll be following along the NBA playoffs. And, of course, the Premier League is pretty much said and done. We just don't know who's the relegation teams that will go down to the championship. And the more to come. Of course, some Champions League in a few weeks. So keep in tune with the Sportscast. Hal, it's always a pleasure.
Thanks, Santi. Thanks for taking it easy on me. I should congratulate you on the Heat. I know they're your team. They've been playing so well.
I can't believe
well.
It. I can't believe it, but we'll see. I want to win it all, you know, not just get it, you know, the championship, but I just want to win it all. That's it.
All bets are off at this point. I mean, the two teams that everyone, including the networks, wanted in the final, they're not going to be there. And the Nuggets have never won. So the Heat, if they keep shooting like this, I don't know how you beat them.
Let's do it again. This is your update.